pass, intercepted, kept in the Bruins zone. Nice move, Dan Carr, right in, scores. Oh, what a goal. Carr, 4-3, Montreal.
Even he was surprised after he scored that goal. He knew it was a great play.
That was pretty cool. I mean, it was a good play by Mac to chip the puck back to me there. And just one of those fortunate series of events that worked out really well. So.
Welcome back. Hour number two. One of the highlights of the Canadiens' win over the Bruins in Quebec City last night. Daniel Carr guested earlier today on Off the Cuff with Knuckles Nylund and Sean Campbell on his offseason.
It was a speed thing, and I just, like, I worked with Paul Vincent down in Cape Cod and Brendan Gallagher's dad, Ian, out in Vancouver, and then another guy, Mike Donahue, and on Cape Cod as well. And it was one of those things where it was just, we did speed and power all summer, and it was, and then a lot of power skating and edge work and stuff on the ice.
Welcome back. Hour number three of Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Rich Griffin on the amazing win by the Blue Jays last night. He's getting ready to head to Texas to cover that series after 6 o'clock. Gord Miller. Tonight we have the Mets and Giants right here on TSN 690 at 8 o'clock.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I am so good. I just heard the legendary name, Paul Vincent.
I knew you'd like that. That's why I played it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've known Paul forever. Going back to when he worked for Mike Andessa at RPI in the mid-1980s, they won a national championship with a goalie by the name of Darren Pupa and a forward by the name of Adam Oates. Paul Vincent was the guiding guy behind the scenes. He's an amazing man. He has done so much for hockey, especially in Massachusetts, and especially with skating and power and development. And in the 2010 Stanley Cup Final, he was a very important part of what the Chicago Blackhawks did when they won the Cup. So I am so happy to hear a player actually acknowledge that Paul worked with him. Paul Vincent is an amazing guy, great person, consider him a very good friend. He used to work all around with all these different players, so good for him to be mentioned. Great.
And Daniel Carr, as you know, Pierre, as that season of a year ago started to slip away, he was one of the bright notes in the second half of the season of all the call-ups. He looked like he belonged before he himself got hurt and missed the rest of the year. After the game, Michel Therrien.
Il est bon en récupération de rondelles. Il est bon en entour du filet. On est très conscient que c'est un jeune joueur qui n'a pas beaucoup de matchs à date dans la Ligue nationale. Il y a beaucoup de choses aussi à travailler avec. Mais il amène un élément qui est capable de produire offensivement, qui n'est pas négligé. Là.
Reinforcing what we liked about him last season, he's got a nose for the net, and you can't really teach that.
Hockey sense. We talked about this yesterday. If I remember correctly, you were asking me about Carr, and I think it was Mitch Gallo in terms of proper combinations and players that he could play with. Hockey sense is a big part of it. That's one of the reasons why he's such a good finisher, and he is. But, you know, the one thing I would say in his defense, I know he hasn't played a lot of NHL games. I understand that. He's played in the national championship game in the NCAA. That's a huge thing. To get to that place from Union College and play in an NCAA final and win, that's hard. That's big-time experience, much bigger than people think.
So from Quebec City last night to practice today as they prepare for their final exhibition game tomorrow against Toronto, then open up in Buffalo a week from tomorrow. The third line appears to be David Desharnais, Andrew Shaw, and Carr.
I think Shawzy's such a hard-nosed guy. I mean, you saw it against Washington in his first preseason game. He plays hard. He's so competitive. He brings a lot of energy, and I think he's a guy that creates a lot of space. I mean, for a guy like Dave, when he has a little space, if you can get open for him, like I said before, you're going to get a lot of good scoring chances, and I think Shawzy does that.
Pierre, once again with Chris Nylund and Sean Campbell earlier today, do you think David Desharnais will get a little more space perhaps to work with Shaw on his wing?
He will early, and I'm just going to tell you what I would do if I was coaching against them.
Yep.
I would go right after Shaw. I would get Shaw so riled. I'm just telling you what I would do. I'm not saying that teams will do this. I'm telling you what I would do, and I say this out of respect. When I used to drop game plans like this, whether it was to go against Chelios and get him off his game or try to get Yzerman off his game, whatever, it doesn't matter. Star players, Neely in Boston, I'd go after, you're just asking the question, I would go right after Shaw, and I'd try to get him off his game, and I think that would not allow for very much room for Darnay.
And, of course, if they had a bigger presence up there, they may be less reluctant to mess with Andrew Shaw.
That's why I would do it. I'm telling you I'd do. If they had a bigger presence, I would not be doing that. But it's you measure your game plan based on the types of players the opposition has.
When it comes to Shaw's ability to stir things up himself, do you think he's going to end up in the plus column, whereas he'll draw more penalties than he'll take?
Oh, that's fair. I think he'll probably take more penalties than he'll draw just because he has a reputation with the officials. It's not a bad one, but he still has a reputation with officials. So for a play, if he was a more of a prolific point producer, he would get more leeway with the officials. But because he's been branded almost as a physical, in-your-face, nasty guy who's a slot area presence, he doesn't get as many breaks as maybe a Patrick Kane or a Jonathan Taves or a Marian Hossa. He didn't get as many breaks that way. So I think he'll take more penalties than what he'll draw.
All right, three other significant developments from last night through today. Let's start with this one here.
He's obviously a great young defenseman with a lot of talent, and looking forward to playing with him and the other guys.
Shea Weber's partner at practice today, which means they're starting with Nathan Beaulieu as his partner to start the season.
You know how happy I am.
I know.
I'm a big fan. It's hard. You know what? One of the hardest parts of doing this with you every day, you don't want to always overtly cheer for a player. But last year, I was really ticked off with the way that kid was treated. I really was. And I told you about it at the time. And I just think it's so critically important that people understand this kid's really good. And he's got a chance to be super good. But don't break his spirit. And it looks like they've caught on to that, and they're doing the right thing. So I'm so happy. I am so happy for him.
If he could get a chance to play with Weber, and would you like to do that?
Of course I'd like to do that. It'd be special. He's a world-class player, and I think I compliment him real well. So I'm going to leave that up to the coaching staff. I know they're going to give me every opportunity. I'm not worried about that. So it's just my job to, if and when they give me the opportunity, to seize it.
There was Dan Robertson asking the question in the last couple of days. So, Pierre, obviously there's no concern about his skating, his ability to move the puck and all that. But now the challenge of facing some of the best right-wingers in the National Hockey League, how do you think he responds to that?
I think good early. Here's what will be the big test, is the physical pounding. People aren't going to chip pucks into Shea Weber's corner. And this is something, and I'm sure the Canadiens coaches will track it. We used to track it all the time when we had Paul Coffey, Larry Murphy, some of our more skilled guys. How many times were puck chipped into their corner, and how many times were they hit? And you got to track that. And I think that's the one thing you got to pay attention to with a player like that. I think early on, they will not do that to Weber. They're going to try to do it to Beaulieu. And if Nathan can handle it, it'll be fine. It'll be all great.
And Lehkonen went flying. He's got a chance. Scores! Lehkonen off a sweet pass. And we are tied at two. What a release. Well, he's been dying to get one, Sergio. And that is what the Canadians want to see out of Arturi Lehkonen.
I was just trying to hit the net when I got the pass. I mean, I've had so many chances in the earlier days, so I was just trying to rip it and hit the net.
All right, so there he is. He also talked of slowly adapting to the smaller ice surface. It was important for him to score before camp finished. He did against a pretty good Bruins team that they aced last night. So it looks like right now it'll be Plekanec, Radulov, and Lehkonen as the second line. What do you think?
I'm really happy that he scored, but what I love the most about that soundbite, I obviously didn't watch the game because I was working last night. What I like about the soundbite, I just try to hit the net. If you were to ask Mario Lemieux, Wayne, and I've done it, so I can tell you, Mike Bossy, what were you thinking? What were you looking at? I just want to hit the net. You don't want to miss the net. The best goal scorers, they don't always end up in the corners. They end up in the net. If you miss the net, you're never going to hit the net. So I love that soundbite. I thought that was really appropriate. And how about his English? Oh, my goodness. Think about that. Like, he sounds unbelievable. Fantastic.
It was fun. Like, this was my first experience from this rivalry, and I know that this goes a long way back, and it was really fun to play.
Fun to play in a Canadiens Bruins game with Pierre Maguire. And the other significant development, Zach Redman.
I think as time goes on, you just get a year wiser and you figure out that you can't, you know, you can't really make a team playing tentative. You know, if you jump up and you make your mistake, make sure it doesn't happen again. You know, just be very selective. Yeah, picking your spots, it's a tricky game for an offensive defenseman and figuring it all out. But I think I've managed it fairly well.
Mitch Gallo and everybody else who's been watching since day one of camp, very impressed with the camp that Redman has had, and he has apparently beaten out Mark Barberio, who was placed on waivers today.
Character and skill, so good for him. I mean, that's a really nice story. I'd be surprised if Mark Barberio cleared waivers, Mitch. I really would. I'd be really surprised. That doesn't mean he won't, because I know a lot of teams have cap issues. But I'd be surprised. But that's a really nice story. Good for Zach Redman. Really good.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, Pierre, and it seems like maybe a couple teams inside the division could use a Barberio. Maybe Ottawa, maybe Boston?
Yep. Well, the problem you have, again, I don't know about Ottawa, but I would tell you Boston, they worry about the cap. I mean, they got to worry about the cap.
Well, that's Boston, the only issue. Boston brought in... and he scored last night, right? We were talking about Christian Ehrhoff.
Yep.
A bullet of a shot. And I don't know, if you're the Bruins, do you go Ehrhoff? Or if you have a shot at Barberio and go younger, what do you do?
I personally would go younger. But I also know that there's a very good relationship with Christian Ehrhoff and Zdeno Chara. Going back to, obviously, the World Cup and playing for Team Europe. And I think that carries a lot of swagger with the Boston Bruins.
And, of course, again, as Pierce pointed out, they don't get first shot at Mark Barberio on waivers. I think a lot of people have reacted that way, that the likelihood of him moving to another NHL city is greater than him going to St. John's.
That's my own opinion. When I saw today that he was exposed, I figured, because I was flying back from Marquette, I figured, oh, he's going to get picked. You'll know by 12 o'clock tomorrow.
And the momentum seems to be against Sven Andraghetto making this team, Pierre. If he were to be placed on waivers, do you think there'd be interest in him?
I think he gets through. I think he'll end up getting through. It's just hard. It's hard when you're undersized. It's just really hard. And he doesn't have a really great established record in the NHL. It doesn't mean he's not a good player. He's a good player. It's just, it's hard. There are a lot of good players. That's part of the problem. That's why... this Las Vegas expansion, I keep bringing it up, it's going to open up a lot more for a lot of guys that are like Andraghetto.
So with Bolia getting the first opportunity to play with Weber, Andre Markov, I think Michel Therrien said today they'd like to get him to 20 minutes. He's going to be paired with Dan Petrie, that's his father, Jeff Petrie.
That's okay.
On the blue line. It's baseball playoff time. 84 World Series guy,
it's
Dan Petrie.
It's an honest mistake.
Andre Markov at 20. I'm thinking by the end, it's such a long season and a tough grind in the playoffs should they make it there. I would personally try to aim for 16 to 18 minutes for Markov.
That's why I was snickering. You and I are on the same page on most of these issues. It's about old age. It's about being ready for the playoffs. It's about not getting beat up. You've got some younger legs. And I expect Nathan's going to thrive. I really do. Now, maybe he doesn't, but I think Nathan's going to thrive as long as they deal with him properly. It's about coaching a millennial athlete. That's all I'll tell you. They had one of them before, and they traded him away, and he wasn't dealt with properly. Don't make the same mistake with Bolia.
And because Mark Barberio was placed on waivers, people have jumped to the conclusion, some people, that Sergachev has made the team. He's still in camp. He's probably going to play tomorrow night, teamed with Alexei Yemelin. So it's down to, if that's the case, do you think he's beaten out Greg Pattern, Mitch Gallo, if it came down to that, or Zach Redman? I mean, what's this?
Knowing the Canadiens' history, I would say he beats out Pattern. I'm not sure about Redman. I would have Sergachev ahead of Redman.
The one thing you need to pay attention to, and I know fans don't really care about these little idiosyncrasies, but this is what managers think about. If you put him in the NHL this year, and let's just say you start the clock ticking on unrestricted free agency as a first-round pick coming out of his first draft, you're starting the clock on everything. Arbitration rights, unrestricted free agency, second contract term, which could be huge. You saw what that did on PK Subban. They dropped the ball. They gave him a bridge. Eventually led to him being traded out of town. It was a mistake in the contract. Said it day one when they did it. They never should have bridged them. They should have given him a Carlson deal, and they didn't. They fouled it up, and that's why they got what they got now. You got to be careful with young players like that. And I'm sure, I am sure that Mark Bergevin learned his lesson on Subban in terms of contract stuff. You have to pay attention to those little things.
And something else about Sergachev.
And Desharnais filled in for him on the blue line, and the puck is sent into the Montreal zone. So a couple of mistakes from Sergachev, and he gets steamrolled there by Jimmy Hayes.
Here comes Petrie going to see Hayes as the young kid got smoked there.
Obviously, that game was so fast and much faster than against Ottawa. And so just fast game, everybody's hitting.
He had his head down behind the net. It's the second time in the preseason he's been hit hard. He's made reference several times to how quick the pace is. I don't know. I don't get the feeling that he's totally convinced, even though he said he thinks he can play in the NHL right now, that he believes he's ready.
No, but they can still give him a taste. They can still give him a 6-9 game taste, and the clock doesn't start ticking. And that's what I would not be surprised if they do that. That being said, let's focus on the positive with this player. This was a very good pick. Trevor Timmons, Mark Bergevin, Rick Dudley, Larry Carrier, all those guys, this is a good pick. He will be a very good player. Very good player for this team.
Here is a shot that is shunted down. Rebound, score! The goal by Nicholas Deslauriers. D'Lo has gotten the first goal of the game, and the Sabres lead 1-0.
And this is a line that the Buffalo Sabres are probably going to start the season with: Deslauriers, Johan Larson, and Hudson Fashing. They're all fast, they're all strong in the puck, and they can also make a mess.
What else was your takeaway from Marquette, Michigan last night, Buffalo and Carolina?
The fans were great. The environment was awesome. The NHL worked really hard to make sure the ice was okay. It wasn't great, but they worked really hard to try to make it okay. Buffalo is going to be much improved. They had 35 wins last year. I think they'll be a lot better than that this year. Carolina had 35 wins last year. I don't know if they're going to be a lot better. I think they'll be a little bit better. I think Cam Ward will have a much better year this year in terms of consistency. Noah Hanifin looks like he's ready to take another step. Brett Pesce looks like he's ready to take another step on their defense. Getting Teuvo Teravainen is good for them. But I think Buffalo is a story. I spent a lot of time around their group, talked to all their coaches. I think they're a story, and I think they could push for the last playoff spot.
Rich Griffin with the Toronto Blue Jays on his way to Texas will join us in about 10 minutes on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Final one, Pierre, Connor McDavid will be a captain in the NHL at 19.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's fantastic. I think about when Crosby was named captain by Michel Therrien. I think about when Gabriel Landeskog was named captain in Colorado. Those are amazing players, like really good players, obviously. And I am just so happy for Connor McDavid, for Edmonton Oilers fans. It's really appropriate. You know what's funny? I remember the first time I saw Connor play. I think he was 14 or 15, and he was so dominant. It was in Toronto. He was just so dominant against older players. There was a maturity to his game that was overwhelming. It really was. The last player I saw that was like that was Crosby when he was the youngest player to ever score for Canada in a World Junior in the 2004 World Junior in Helsinki, Finland. So, I mean, to put him in the same stratosphere as Crosby, that's pretty special.
Thanks as always, Pierre. Do it again tomorrow.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great night, everybody.
Played by Brown, but Eichel took it away. Missed for Reinhardt. Got Nelson. His shot. Deflected. Score! Reinhardt! And it's 2-0.
Good hustle. Good grinding. Eichel moves the puck back to the point, and you see Reinhardt go to the net. Stick comes off the ice. Good shot by Nelson. Going to get this puck through, and then look at the chip right there by Reinhardt. Great job beating Noah Hanifin.
When we come back...
Somebody threw something out of the stands.
It's a bottle of water someone threw at the same time he was trying to make that catch. Inexcusable.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwarts and the large Gino sandwich. Have your fresh toppings any way you like.